And so we've got you back in Winthrop, and you're on the farm, and we're in the 30s and now the 40s. Now, you said that you went to the big school all the time. Your brothers went to the one-room schoolhouse. Yeah. And was that like K through 12 in one building?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so when you got into grade school, did you take a bus, walk, or did you take a horse or buggy?
We rode the bicycle.
And you're talking 2 miles now.
2 miles, yeah.
Okay.
Off, you know, Winthrop, Minnesota Valley Canning Company,
mm-hmm.
Green Giant.
Oh,
they had a factory in Winthrop. Ho, ho, ho. A factory in Winthrop. Which was wonderful for me because that in summertime I raised enough money to for the next next university year, working in both the pea season as well as corn,
mm-hmm.
and it fit in just perfectly, and it was wonderful.
Now you were going to tell me about an Armistice Day snowstorm.
In 1940. They were going to have in school everybody assemble the different grades and have a special program in honor of the day.
Okay, now you are 12 years old at the time, so that would put you about the 8th grade,
mm-hmm.
or 7th grade.
Yeah. So, and Dad was going to be part of the program, I think, at least as I recall, but bringing in the flag.
Because he was a First World War veteran.
And so there were a couple other guys, too, in First World War. And they all were in uniform.
Okay.
And it was raining in the morning and nothing unusual. Dad took the opportunity to leave it down at the garage where they would service it, the car, while the program was on.
Your family automobile?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then...
What kind of a car was it, do you recall?
It was a used Chevrolet. I don't know if it was back. It was 33, 34 Chev or something like that.
Okay.
But anyway, we're at the program. Dad and they bring in the flags, and then somebody starts speaking. And pretty some time later, somebody from town came running in and said, "The weather is changing. The wind is picking up. It's starting to snow, and it's really a blizzard. It happened so fast. And so we suggest you all leave." Well, they did right away. Everybody left. We went out with Dad, and we're going to go get the car down at the garage. It took our breath away. The garage was maybe 3-4 blocks away. And then we heard somebody say, "It's no use going down for your car, Carl. It snowed in there, and there's already a drift. It happened so fast. It changed so fast." Well, Grandma lived in town by this time. It was about 3 blocks away. So we started walking over, Dad and us, and it was unbelievable. We had to get behind a house or a building to get a breath. It just took your breath away. It was just... No, I heard this last year, since it was the end, which anniversary, how many years? But anyway, about, you know, it was terrible, all of the stuff that happened on the Mississippi River, the duck hunters and all that sort of thing. But out there in the prairie, it was just as bad. So we finally got to Grandmother's house, and then Dad nervously picked up the phone and hoped that the phone was still working to the farm. And somehow, with all that wind, it still was. So he talked to Mom, and she described what already had happened, drifts like crazy. And when it had started, she went out and knew that Dad had just milked the cows and let them out. You had to let them out to get water. You know, there's not such a thing as those water cups that you have in modern barns. And they had to let him out. And she looked at him and realized had to get those in. And she did. She opened the barn doors, and then the cows came running in as fast as they could. And she shut the barn door and went to the house. And then she experienced this. You know, she almost couldn't have made that because the barn was quite a ways from the house, but she did. Then she talked to Dad, and she said, "The problem is our furnace, we got that one chunk of wood in there. I think there's any coal. I can't remember. But anyway, it's not going to be enough to go overnight. And I need to go out to the woodshed, which was like, I don't know, half a block away or something. And Dad said, you are not, you might not make it back. And you've got to figure out some way. I it's no use me trying to, I'll never make it with this wind. And she did. She started chopping up furniture.
Really?
Yeah, true story. And getting it in there to keep the heat on enough for... And my younger sister, who was only two at the time, so it was worrisome for Dad.
That'd have been Mary D.
Yeah.
Were Cliff and Douglas and Dick and Kurt in school with you?
Yes, Dick and Kurt were. Yeah.
Dick and Kurt were. And where were Cliff and Douglas?
Well, Douglas had passed away.
Oh, that's right, at 10 years old.
And
Cliff was in the service?
Cliff, 1940. He was taking training here, and he was taking training in Minneapolis for business school.
So it was you and Dick and Kurt with Dad at the school.
And so then we were at
Grandma's house.
So the next morning, I can't remember what the weather exactly like, but the drifts were just unbelievable. Nothing was moving. So he had to figure out a way to get home. Now, you can't walk, you know, on that snow. You're going to sink right in all the way there. And so he went to a couple of neighbors and found somebody who had skis, and he skied home and made it.
Stayed with Grandma.
And we stayed with Grandma. Interesting thing. You know, there were so many cattle that were out. Happily, Mom got them in. So many cattle who were frozen stiff standing up.
Wow.
They were
dead standing up.
There are pictures of them everywhere. But it was unbelievable. Some days later, I remember, you know, you have these drifts, and then when you sink a leg through, break the crest. A crust, and I did that, and out flew a chicken.
Oh, my gosh.
Chickens were also out.
Sure, I imagine.
And so then, after that, because Dad had checked on it, trying to find the chickens, we started looking all over, stomping, trying to find chickens.
Boy.
How
long did you have to stay at Grandma's?
Well, I think it was maybe a couple days later. I can't remember.
Say, speaking about that, what was your typical Thanksgiving dinner back when you were a kid in grade school?
Well, we'd always get a turkey. We didn't have turkeys, but yeah, we'd always get a turkey. And there would be all the stuff with it.
Well, what was I have a tradition like I'm going to be making a Thanksgiving dinner on Friday, this coming Friday, because a foreign exchange student I had back in 91 is coming over. And from Denmark, and he's been here for several Thanksgiving dinners, so it's a tradition. So what was the Erickson's tradition in Winthrop, Minnesota for Thanksgiving besides the turkey? What else did you have?
Well, I really can't remember exactly, but I think it was the usual kind of stuff. You had a vegetable of some kind, I guess.
Okay, so it wasn't, okay. What relationship do you have with Lutefisk?
Oh, well.
Seriously.
Oh. Well, in all Scandinavian households, that was a must. Not at Thanksgiving, but at Christmas time. And it was just a tradition. They had Lutefisk in the old country. As a matter of fact, we were on tours with groups and found that we asked them, do you still have Lutefisk? Oh, of course. Yeah, it's tradition. You got to have that. I mean, even though you can get fresh fish, why would you have lutefisk? Because the lute, which that was the lie that they put it in so that it would travel better without rotting.
Mm-hmm.
And then, well, Mom would take the lutefisk and put it in a pan of water. And then every day change the water for about a week before I'd use it to try to get most of that odor out of there. But then what happened is these Scandinavians learned to like, especially the old-timers, learned to like the taste of lutefisk the way it was. They didn't want just a fish taste. They wanted lutefisk. And that's how it all started.
Well, I'm married to a 100% Norwegian. And every,
oh, my goodness.
I know. Every
You got to do it, too?
Every Christmas, she does the lutefisk. And then, of course, a couple of times a year just before, right, like around this time, she goes to the various churches that have lutefisk feeds.
Now
I don't go with.
Yeah, now the Norskis, they mostly like it with drawn butter.
Oh, well, yes. That's,
yeah. Now, I don't know if it's mixed up, I'm sure, now. But mostly the Swedes had cream sauce on it.
Oh. Well, I used a lot of butter and salt and pepper.
Well, I used butter, and if they had cream, and then if they had butter, I'd use that too. Yeah. Anything to, you know.
Yeah. And then she puts it on what I call a Norwegian taco. It's, what is it, lefse.
Yeah.
And then the mashed potatoes. So when you were at Winthrop, what was the population of your class of 47?
Oh, I think 30 or 40, something, okay. Somewhere in there. I can't remember.
Good size.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So when did you go to the prom when you were a kid in high school?
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
How many times?
Junior and senior, but I got to tell you that I missed my senior year. I had to delay it 1 year because I was in a car accident.
What happened?
With a bunch of guys my age going to a neighboring town of Arlington. And
was there beer involved?
I can't remember. There was probably something that we shouldn't have done, but
okay.
My memory fails me.
But
I made it too. I'm allowed to do that.
Yeah. Well, you made a whole year out of your life. What kind of an accident was it?
Well, we were coming from Arlington, and there was a curve going to Gaylord, and in the road, they've since straightened that out. Well, we kind of kept going straight ahead and hit a power pole.
Oh boy!
And it was like an accordion. And how more of us, there were, I think, six in the car.
Oh.
And I was the worst.
Who was driving?
Well, I don't want to say, but
okay.
It's one of us. It wasn't
okay.
Me.
It
wasn't me. I was in the back.
Yeah.
And I was, interesting, and of course, there were no seatbelts back then.
No.
And, but I was in the back, but I was the most seriously injured. I broke my leg.
Oh.
My right femur. But the infection. So I had a problem with that. And back then, they didn't have the wonder drugs to fight that infection. And so, high fever and all that sort of stuff. So.
Was it like a staph infection?
Yeah.
Okay.
Staph infection.
So did they nurse you in the hospital or at home or both?
Both.
What was your longest stint in the hospital?
Well, it was the Gaylord Hospital. And I suppose it was until they could figure out a way to get me home, because Mom actually was a nurse. She had taken nurse's training back in 1920.
Wow.
And she always had work, at the canning factory. They always needed a nurse on duty, and she was always doing that. So the doctors allowed me to go home earlier, I think, because she was a nurse and could take care of me.
But the bone structure did replace itself, but the staph infection festered the wound.
Yeah.
And so that can be pretty uncomfortable.
Well, it can be uncomfortable, and it could also be deadly.
Yeah.
It's really nothing to fool around with.
Well, I had the staph infection when I didn't know what it was. I just thought, I didn't know what it meant.
Yeah.
And then when I saw the look on the doctor's face and having him come in and check on me about every 45 minutes, I thought, well, what's going on here? All I heard was it was a staph infection. And as a kid, I got one right here, a little bit of an infection on a scratch. But now I know how serious that can be.
Well, they had sulfa drugs, and they put that on there.
Uh-huh.
But then I was okay, and the next year I went to school. And
did they offer to bring homework home for you?
No. I was frankly, too, I was, high temperature. No.
So you were sick. You couldn't.
I really was.
You couldn't concentrate or anything.
But the following year, then I was okay,
yeah.
And then I went in the Army during Korea.
Well, you're getting ahead of me.
Well, I'll just tell you this because of this bad leg of mine. So I'm all cured by then. I mentioned about my leg, and they said, "Oh, you're okay. Everything tests out." So when I go, and I'm going out to Fort Lewis, Washington, training, got Ranger training. And it was tough.
Oh, yeah.
And I banged myself up on a bunch of rocks And I end up in the hospital at the out there, Madigan Army Hospital, for a year.
Jeez.
And it was on the same leg, but it was the infection coming back or whatever it was, or whatever happened.
No wonder drugs yet?
And then by then, they are starting to get some wonder drugs.
Okay.
Yeah.
So who did you take to the prom?
I can't remember. I don't want to embarrass her.
Oh, Roger, we're talking
about
60-some years ago. They aren't listening, okay?
Lena. I took Lena.
Yeah, sure, you did. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was always too bashful.
No, do you remember? I mean, if you don't want to say, you don't have to, but
yeah.
I mean, there was a different lady each year?
Every night. No, I mean, yes or no.
We're talking about the prom.
Oh, the prom.
Two of them. Two of them. Was it different ladies?
I suppose.
Okay. And you don't remember their names.
Actually, for a while, too, we lived in Mound. So I went to Mound High School for...
How the heck did you end up in Mound?
Well, because I mentioned Dad never had owned a farm.
Yeah.
And they bought a farm near Maple Plain, 80 acres, and cow. The barn was wonderful. Had cups for the cows to drink water out of, and everything they would ever had. Can't remember if it had electricity. And so Dad, they had an opportunity to finally buy a farm, and it was just strictly mostly a dairy farm. Most of the grain that you grow and everything goes into the cows.
Sure.
But it didn't work out as he had hoped. The land was different from what he's used to and everything. So he started working at a defense plant.
In New Brighton?
In downtown Minneapolis. They're making some kind of stuff.
Oh.
He never told me what it was. But he'd take the bus in and out, and then we'd return to Winthrop again. But that was interesting, too.
Okay, now I spent 5 years in high school.
Yeah.
And you did, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
You were out with, you were sick for a year. So how many years at Winthrop and how many at Mound?
Well, Mound was three or four. Four, I think.
And so you went to Winthrop, Mound, and then back to Winthrop?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Back to Winthrop my senior year.
No,
junior, senior.
Were you kind of broken up when you had to go to Mound with the family after being in Winthrop all that time?
No, as a matter of fact, it was an interesting. Well, sure. Yeah, no, there's that. But it was an interesting time. Mound High School had one of the really interesting high schools at that time.
It was new, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was new.
Yeah.
And it was just wonderful. Great experience there, and we have always since kind of lived around that area out in western end of Hennepin County.
You're adorable.
Bee.
You're so beautiful.
See.
You're a cutie full of charm.
Well, now you know the name of the song, Hey, You're Adorable.
Yeah.
And I'm using that as bumper music. It's the latest I can go back for the top 10. You graduated in 47. These are the top 10 songs of 1949.
Uh-huh.
This is Perry Como.
You
remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, my guest this morning is Roger Erickson. And Roger, of course, formerly with WCCO Radio. But since retired, we're talking about his growing up in the Winthrop area and a little bit of time in Mound in Minnesota. But you did graduate from Winthrop in 1947, 48, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I heard you mention, and you mentioned that you did go to prom a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
What was your first car?
My first car. Oh, boy.
Everybody remembers that.
Yeah, I didn't have a first car until I got out of college.
Oh.
Got to Stillwater, where I started in radio.
Okay.
I think I got a used Buick, I think.
Okay. Well, a lot of my guests get one in high school.
Yeah.
Okay, so did you play athletics in
Nah.
No? How about theater?
I always had to get home and...
Milk the cows.
Milk the cows.
Yeah. Did you have to lift those doggone milk buckets?
Oh, those cans?
Yeah.
Oh, they're heavy.
Yeah.
We had a guy come around and collect the cans,
uh-huh.
And he'd take one in each hand, like the 10-gallon, the big ones, and lift them up into the Unbelievable.
I couldn't even do that with two hands.
No.
You mentioned the 1940 snowstorm, but you had some other blizzards all your own that weren't celebrated, like the one on Armistice Day, 1940. What other blizzards do you remember as a kid out on the farm?
Well, you know, I always remember, I can't remember when they were.
Yeah.
But, you know, you always look for a snowstorm so you get a little break from school.
Sure.
And the plows never get in there. And we used to have them a lot on the prairie. You know, you had most of the farm area, the buildings, surrounded on the west and the north by trees.
Okay. To block the wind.
To block the wind, those northwest winds.
Yep.
And you'd get, which was good, except you'd have those kind of trickly ones that come right through, right in by the house and everything. Well, just can't go to school today. It just isn't going to work.
Yeah.
That was pretty nice.
You know, when you think about the plains, what about tornadoes? Did you ever see one or be involved in one as a kid growing up on the plains?
Trees knocked down in the shelter belt, but no, other than that, no.
Okay. Did you have the cellar to go to?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That was a must.
Earthen cellar.
Now, what was down there?
Well, all the canned goods, for one thing. Okay. Potatoes.
Uh-huh.
They put the potatoes down there because it was moist kind of air. Yeah.
So you would, if there was a threat, you could run down the storm cellar, you call it, where you also served and preserved food.
Yeah.
All right. Isn't it amazing, like you said at the top of the show, how many changes there have been and the difference? Now, do you remember your telephone number back in the, what was it?
3R7.
3R7.
Mm-hmm.
How many rings?
A long and two short.
Okay. Did you ever listen in on the party line?
Everybody did.
Your mother would say, "Get off that phone." Or, "What is Mary Lou up to over there?"
And you know, when each person along the line got on, then the line got weaker.
Yeah.
You couldn't.
So you evidently went off to the Army first or the university?
University first.
Okay. Now, your mother had nursing training,
mm-hmm.
and your father had no formal education.
No.
And your father was first American. Your grandfather was here from Sweden in the mm-hmm. 1860s.
Mm-hmm.
Got here right in time for the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you're off. Cliff or Douglas go to college?
No. Cliff went to business school.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I was when Cliff returned from the Army after the war.
That's, folks, that's Roger's older brother.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't know if I was going to go to college or not. Couldn't afford really to go. Mom wanted me to go to Gustavus. I wouldn't be smart enough to go up there to St. Olaf's, and let alone St. Gustavus. So I wouldn't be able to get any kind of help, you know, a scholarship.
Yeah.
So I was really thinking I'm not ever going to go to college. And I guess I'm going to be a farmer, which would be fine, except Dad said, "Raj, you got to do something else. You are not a farmer. You destroyed enough machinery around here. And you cultivate too fast." Then I decided that I'd go to college because my brother Cliff was just getting out of the Army. 1947 is when I started. He had been in college on the GI Bill 1 year before that.
Okay.
And so he said, "Come on and live with me," because he was on the GI Bill.
Oh.
GI Bill. He got all his books and everything free at the university. And then they had a little stipend so he could have a small apartment right down in Dinkytown. He says, "Come and live with me." I never would have gone to college if that wasn't the case.
If it wasn't for Dougie.
If it wasn't
Dougie.
For Cliff. Yeah.
Cliff. Oh, yeah. For Cliff. Okay.
Right.
Now, you mentioned Cliff was in the Battle of the Bulge, did you say?
He was.
Did he ever tell you stories about that?
You know, he didn't. Couldn't talk about it. It was just too much to remember. I think it was not just that he was in danger all the time, but that he saw so many of their fellow...
I had a gentleman, a lawyer here in town, that was in the Battle of the Bulge. Mm-hmm. And he sat right there and told me the story, and I was just in awe. I'm going, how could you possibly take that?
Yeah.
So God bless our veterans, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So Cliff is going to let you live with them, and mm-hmm. you're going to go to the university. Now, right. What were you interested in at that time?
You know, I had at Winthrop, I got into declamation and debate, not a debate so much as we had you'd go to these contests, mm-hmm. maybe over at New Ulm, all the schools, and you'd have a speech,
okay.
or whatever you had. Maybe I had I can't remember what they all were, but one of the judges there said, you know, you should do something about your parents gave you a present. I said, what's that? He said, it's your voice, and it's not what you hear now. Used to be okay.
Come on. You sound good.
The only thing, not that it was that great, but that it was maybe...
Your diction was excellent.
With the
Swedish accent.
Yeah, you betcha. But anyway, so I just kind of got to thinking about that.
Uh-huh.
So I got to the university, and I got some of those classes and eventually into the theater. And there was also a place at the university called I'll think of it now. But anyway, this is the one that did the stuff we're in school listening, and all these shows with all the voices.
The campus radio?
Yeah, and I met Steve Cannon there, and there was a whole bunch of people like that eventually went into radio or into theater, and I decided I'm going to give this a shot.
And at this time, you were living with your brother.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were taking the basics, English and...
Oh, all those,
yeah. Yeah, and then, but you were geared towards theater.
Yeah.
All right.